Hello and welcome to the Weekly Wrap podcast, where we discuss the week's trending news in agriculture and share highlights from the latest Farmers Weekly magazine. I'm your host, Sindira Chetty, and joining me in studio is Farmers Weekly editor, Janine Ryan. Hi, Janine, and welcome this week.
Hi, Sindira. It's nice to be able to speak to you.
Yes. So one of the major talking points this week was National Treasury's announcement that it has withdrawn the proposed VAT increase. Now, just to give our listeners some context, the increase was originally proposed by Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana during his budget speech in March, following a postponement in February. The proposal would have seen VAT rise from the current 15% to 17%, but it was met with widespread public and political resistance. Maybe we want to discuss more on that.
So in February, the budget speech was supposed to be delivered by the finance minister. Then, of course, that's when he proposed a 2 percentage point increase in VAT. And then it was met with widespread criticism, as you said, and postponed to March. Then when he delivered the speech in March, he proposed a 0.5% increase for the 2025-26 financial year, and then another 0.5 percentage point increase for the 26-27 financial year. And still that was not a very popular proposal. The DA, which is obviously one of the main partners in the Government of National Unity, opposed the budget, and the finance minister couldn't pass the budget without the votes of smaller parties like Action SA and BOSA. So while the budget eventually was passed because of those additional votes, the DA and then also the EFF decided to take the finance minister to court, claiming that the whole process was unconstitutional. This was heard in the Western Cape High Court, I think it was the 22nd of April, and the court reserved judgment until the 29th. But all of that obviously has now fallen away because, as you said, the finance minister has scrapped the increase.
Mm-hmm. So, Janine, how might this decision affect farmers or agribusinesses going forward? What will be the impact?
For farmers that were VAT registered, so perhaps larger farmers, larger businesses, would probably not have had, a VAT increase wouldn't have had such a substantial difference in their operations just because they are VAT registered. But I think it's going to have a bigger impact on smaller farmers who aren't VAT registered, for example. I think it will be a relief overall, though, for all South Africans, because a lot of South Africans are already struggling to sort of make ends meet as it is. And also, of course, for farmers who need to buy inputs, which is all of them, those inputs will obviously not now increase by that extra 0.5 percentage point. So I think it's a welcome relief in that sense, but then we also have the question about, well, now we have this gap in the government finances, and I'm not entirely sure how government is going to fill that gap, what the next proposal is going to be. And that makes me a little uneasy because who knows what else they're going to come up with.
It's definitely a tough situation with a lot of uncertainty around how the shortfall will be addressed. It's going to be interesting to see what steps government decides to take, though. Now, moving on, let's talk about the next topic. It was reported that 100 cattle had unexpectedly died on a farm in the Eastern Cape. A private vet who performed a post-mortem suggested the cattle may have consumed toxic grass as a result of armyworm strikes. Janine, what more can you tell us about this incident?
So we have had some African armyworm outbreaks throughout, I think, probably the majority of provinces in South Africa. So the African armyworm, from what I've heard experts say. I'm not an expert, so you know, please don't
quote you.
Yeah, farmers shouldn't rely on my advice. They should definitely contact somebody else who knows about this stuff. But from what I've understood is that African armyworm is not nearly as dangerous as fall armyworm, and that there hasn't been any particular or any substantial losses to crops, because these worms obviously feed on crops, particularly maize. But in terms of the livestock that died, so when the African armyworm, and I'm sure this probably relates to the fall armyworm as well, when they attack or strike, in inverted commas, let's say kikuyu grass, for example, that grass, as a defense mechanism, releases a cyanide-like toxin. And so when the cattle consumes the grass that now has this toxin on it, it can lead to fatalities. So that was the premise of what perhaps happened with these cattle. It hasn't been confirmed, so we don't know if that is the case. Last we heard from the state veterinarian in the Eastern Cape, which is where this happened, was that the authorities, the people that went to the farm where these animals had died, didn't see any fall African armyworm. It obviously wasn't ruled out based just on the fact that they didn't see any, but they have yet to confirm whether this is actually the reason for the cattle's death. So we're still waiting to find out what their analysis says, essentially.
And for those who want to better understand the impact of armyworm and how to manage outbreaks, we've got a detailed interview available on our YouTube channel, Farmers Weekly SA. Dr. Gerard Ferduin spoke to Janine about the current armyworm situation in South Africa, what farmers should watch out for, and how to respond. Now, farmers, you definitely should watch this. Moving on to another interesting topic, agribusiness Alltech has released a new documentary titled A World Without Cows, which investigates the effect on both people and plants if cattle farming was halted and protein obtained from plant sources instead. Janine, you've read Lindy's article and watched parts of the documentary. Is there anything specific that stood out for you that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, so... I mean, I've also written about this particular topic in my editorials before, because livestock farming in particular definitely seems to be the sort of scapegoat for climate change activism. But that premise is absolutely ridiculous, because, you know, at most it's estimated that cattle contribute something like 14% to greenhouse gas emissions, and that the transport and industry sectors are much, much bigger and more significant contributors to greenhouse gas emissions. So it's always felt like a bit of a silly argument, really. But what this documentary does is look at why we actually need cattle in order to be more sustainable in the future, in order to be more sustainable farmers in the future, in order to protect biodiversity and the environment. It's actually quite a refreshing perspective on the whole issue of livestock farming, because it's pro-livestock farming instead of anti-livestock farming. And I think it offers some very interesting insights into why livestock are actually important for future farming endeavors.
Let's move on to the magazine, which is the second May issue. There's a striking photo of a maize cob on the cover, which ties in with the special focus on summer crops. Janine, why have we chosen to focus on summer crops in this issue?
So we've got to focus on summer crops, as you said. That runs, I think, over 5 or 6 weeks. And we're doing the focus of summer crops now specifically because farmers are obviously harvesting their summer crops at the moment. So maize, soybeans, sunflower, All of those are being harvested, and it's in line with NAMPO, which is sort of mid-May, I think, from what's the date? 12th May, I think, NAMPO starts?
13th
May. Mm. So that's why we decided to do a focus on summer crops in this particular period. So we've got an article on planting maize, or the basics of planting maize, which is a good article for anyone who is interested in possibly diversifying or starting with maize production. And then we've also got an interesting article on intercropping and how it adds value to a maize farm in the Free State.
You know, Janine, it just shows how important it is to get the basics right and how building on that with practices like intercropping can really strengthen a farming operation. Moving on to the next feature, Swine Nutrition Management and the South African Pork Producers Organization provide an explanation of pigs' nutritional needs during different times of their life cycle. So let's go into more detail about this article.
So we're given information from Swine Nutrition Management and the South African Pork Producers Organization and compiled this article. It's really about the different nutritional requirements of pigs as they go through the different phases of their life cycle. So sows that are about farrow, for example, would need very different nutrition and nutritional management than, let's say, a grower or a finisher pig. So we all know, I guess, that the key to profitable production is to optimize your animal's productivity. And part of that, of course, is nutrition. In fact, it's probably an important part. So this is a good guide, again, for farmers who either maybe have a couple of pigs already that they're sort of farming with, or farmers that want to diversify into pig farming, or people who are not farmers but are seriously thinking about starting a piggery.
Mm-hmm. So, Janine, before we end off, what can our listeners look forward to in the coming issues?
Yeah, so there's always something to look forward to. Our next issue in particular, though, is our pre-NAMPO issue. So that's the 9 May issue. And that will focus specifically on what farmers can look forward to at NAMPO. For example, there are a lot of manufacturers in the magazine that explain what they are offering at NAMPO. And it's just a great look forward, really, to NAMPO, which I think is such an integral part of the South African agricultural calendar.
Mm-hmm. Well, Farmers Weekly will be at NAMPO. In NAMPO Hall stands 84 and 67. So we are definitely looking forward to meeting our readers, having a chat. And we actually have exclusive discounts and merchandise on sale. So that's going to be a great time for Farmers Weekly. So everyone should follow us on our social pages for updates. So that's it from us this week. And thank you for listening in. You can get the latest issue of Farmers Weekly on shelves now or read it online via Magster and Zinio. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and let us know what you want to hear more of on our podcast. Until next time, keep growing and keep reading Farmers Weekly.